welcome to the Mad Trio Podcast. This week, it's the Gruesome Twosome Plus One. We have the California Pride, Jonathan Charney James, the Fat Man Stevens, and everybody's favorite guest, Brianne.
You better come up really with a cooler username than that.
Well, did I ever tell you how I came up with the California Pariah?
No.
So I did a training for work, and excuse me, I went there for a training for work, and in the conversation at some point for dinner the last night, they were talking about movies, and being a movie geek and an unabashed movie geek, they were talking about like horror movies. So I was talking about the different genres of horror movies, you know, spiritual horror movies, hack and slash, torture porn, stuff like that. And everybody else except me was from the Midwest. And apparently it's a pretty big picadillo to say the term torture porn to somebody from the Midwest, because they both had the deer in the headlights look. And they were both very kind of like, So I said, well, I guess I'm the California Pariah, because I'm the only person who realizes the movie Saw is specifically designed to make you laugh.
Same with Final Destination.
Yeah.
This is true.
And what was the one that everybody... Scream?
Was oh, yeah.
They had a bunch of them.
But Scream was kind of a horror...
Well, they even turned it into a TV show now, too. There's a Netflix show called Slasher, and it's basically like the Scream films.
But I thought Scream was kind of what is it? They're kind of making fun of it, but in the same genre, not a comedy.
I could see that.
But
Scream, I don't think so. I think it was actually intended to be relatively scary. I mean, yeah, it had like comedic bit to it. I mean, I don't know.
Have you seen Cabin in the Woods?
No, I haven't seen that movie yet.
Oh, goodness. Okay, you need to watch that.
And I actually tried to record it one day, and like we lost signal, and it didn't pick up on the DVR.
It is not only like my favorite horror film, but it's like the best one they've made in at least 25 years. And
yeah, everybody says it's hilarious, which is what I like. I don't
exactly care.
I don't like suspense. I have too much anxiety for like suspenseful movies.
Yeah, it doesn't take itself seriously.
Comedy gold is kind of my go-to. Like I love The Evil Dead. You know, yeah. I totally watch The Evil Dead over and over. It's hilarious.
And I'm totally with Brie and having too much anxiety for watching. That's one of the reasons why I don't like super dramatic stuff, because it triggers me too much, because I'm just like, what the, you know?
I mean, that's why I liked the first Cube, too, because that was actually a hilarious film.
I would say...
Once it got into Cube Zero and...
Hypercube,
then it got dumb, but...
That's one of the reasons I really liked the first Resident Evil movie, because not only was it fairly, it hasn't aged well, but it was hilarious. There was nothing about that movie that wasn't hilarious, because the rest of them were hilarious for a different reason, because they were so bad.
Yeah, but I mean...
I was watching It, and that's what I thought about It. It was freaking hilarious.
Oh, the new one?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a great one. It really is.
It was really good, but it was so funny.
Yeah, I had a great time with it, especially that it was Alexander Skarsgård's little brother that was playing It, and he was, like, dancing and shit.
Yeah.
The guy from True Blood.
To kind of round it out a bit, and the reason why James got the nickname the Fat Man, because every time somebody made a comment about James, about Real Flix Reviews, they always said the fat guy's a jackass.
Yeah.
And so it kind of just stuck. The California Pariah thing just makes me laugh. And it was either that or one of the other things they called James.
All right. So what were some of the comments on how annoying I am? Because that could get me somewhere.
I honestly haven't heard any comments yet. I haven't seen anything. I've been waiting.
For a comment on Brie?
Yeah.
Oh, we haven't made much of an impression, I guess.
I guess not yet.
Because Ryan kept cutting you off, the bastard.
He's just got a big mouth.
I know. I have to. Ryan's the only person who I have to cut in on. Like, I've actually said, hold on, time out. let me say something, then we can add on, because you just said enough to spend an hour on.
Yeah, he does. He does that really well. It's It's his hidden talent.
No wonder his girlfriend started playing video games. Got to do something in the middle of his conversations.
Burn those mages. Mage Guild is supposed to be on fire all the time.
And kind of an additional icebreaker, on my way home the other day, I saw something that I've never seen. And I've been through most of the United States and a couple of different countries. I saw some chick in her birthday suit, sans clothing except for a top, like a bra, was completely naked on an overpass changing clothes.
Oh, she was changing. I thought you meant she was like running down the road naked.
No, she was changing because she was standing in one spot and she did kind of the, like you're almost in, like you might get in trouble. So she did the kind of behind your back looking turn. And it really kind of struck me. Like I did a double take because I was like, is that a naked woman? No, that can't be. And as soon as I started getting past her, it's like, she is. She's naked on an overpass. And
so it's like when you're going down the freeway, like when you're on your way up to Tahoe and there's always somebody off trying to like pee behind a tree, not realizing that as soon as you get around the tree, you can see their whole ass.
Exactly. And so I actually think traffic actually went a little faster just because I think everybody was like, uh-oh, crazy chick is doing something. But it literally shocked me. And what shocked me most is the fact she had a bra on. Because you're already naked. That was the part that also kind of like, I don't get the logic here.
Well,
maybe she had an accident and was just changing her pants.
Or
in the middle of the road?
I mean, I guess.
There's a gas station about 200 yards down.
She, the bra was the first step of actually putting the rest of the clothes on.
Oh, you know. That could be.
That's kind of what I was thinking with that.
Because I was
thinking my story is worse than your story. Like at first I thought yours was worse, but now I think mine's worse.
you want to explain your story?
Oh, so when I was in high school, like my sister and her boyfriend and I were going to like Target in Citrus Heights, of course, of all places, to get like prom accessories or some shit like that. And, we're pulling in and there's this lady who's in like an oversized men's tank top, you know, the kind like the beefcake wear at the gym with the big ass armholes. And her like floppy tit was just hanging out of the armhole. And she was just walking down the sidewalk, like completely oblivious, tweaker lady, saggy boobs, just flopping out of the armhole of the shirt.
At least she wasn't trying to wave down a taxi with those boobs.
I'm surprised nobody stopped.
Like a pendulum.
It was really bizarre. Like, how could you be so completely oblivious that your boob is
drugs out? Are bad.
Drugs are bad. I mean, that did look like some old tweaker, but that was, I was unfortunate.
I was kind of wondering if anybody stopped like she was thumbing a ride.
No, she was just walking, like, completely oblivious. Anything going on around her, it's some kind of red haze, I'm sure.
Yeah, I've always wondered about stuff like that, because I even see, like, if you watch some of these, the internet videos where these people are really tweaked out, you see women like that, and it's just like, how do you, are you so drugged up that you don't notice that certain appendages are free-floating?
Well, considering when you first called me, I was, like, humming She's a Maniac, because I was watching that video of some chick having like a sticker fit and splashing around in a puddle to that song. it was more sad than funny. Like,
I think that's the problem with getting older to some degree for me. Because the older I get, especially now that I have kids, is the fact that I have more empathy. Because I think before my son was born, I would have been like, eh, whatever, that sucks. Now I'm like, what would her mother think? And it was just like, I've definitely gotten softer. Not like
who do
I was.
You think gave her the drugs? So I'm saying you don't know what these people were raised like. I mean, they could have basically been, you know, left out for themselves like all the time because their mom or dad or both are in a drug induced coma, waiting for, you know,
thanks
to
for
be taken care of.
Thanks for popping my bubble there.
I'm just saying they were probably raised weird.
That's the norm, though. Like, how many people were on drugs? That, I mean, obviously, people that aren't on drugs don't generally have fantastic childhoods, but plenty of them do.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of them are maybe over-sheltered, over-protected,
Have any of you watched that Netflix show, Jailbirds?
Yes.
No.
So my wife and I have been watching it. It's kind of a car crash in motion. I think that's one of the reasons I enjoy it so much. And there's one character, I don't remember who it was because I don't particularly want to remember their names, but she was this one chick's in jail, has done multiple stints, and she was like the cheerleader. She was the A student, you know, she was the chick everybody liked in school. And now she's, you know, sitting behind bars, getting in trouble. So that would be the perfect example of somebody who had a great childhood that just life just went sideways.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the problem with when parents are too lenient and let their kids go do whatever they want. Then they go party, they do whatever they want, and they get addicted to something. Yeah. It's just as bad as the overbearing parents where, like, when I was a kid, I had to sneak around because I wasn't allowed to do anything. And then when I would get accused of doing things that I wasn't doing, I figured, why the hell am I not doing it then? Like,
yeah.
You're going to accuse me of doing bad things, then I'm just going to go do whatever the hell I want. And, you know, look where that got me. I mean, thankfully I was young and not totally stupid and like figured my shit out, but not everybody is that
exactly
way. A lot of people are not smart enough to stop doing the stupid things.
Well, John, bringing up the Jailbird show. So the chick that is on there called Monster that has a tattoo over her eye just recently got picked up this week for robbing a store and taking and jacking a car. And when they find the people that she robbed, they recognized her from the Jailbird show because it takes place in Sacramento County.
You're getting it wrong. She really wanted to be on the sequel.
I think she just wanted to go back.
Oh, by the way, James, I'm going to show you
institutionalized.
I'm going to show you a picture of something that made me laugh. This is considered sports equipment according to Facebook. It's a picture of handcuffs.
All right. Mm-hmm. In Rockland. Bree, do you need some handcuffs?
I don't need Rockland anymore.
But, you know, like, I really think that even if you, as Bree said, that you could be raised in a happy home and still fall into drugs. But if we go towards the things like that, there's a lot of people that are raised with parents who either do drugs or where both of them do it or one or the other and they end up split. And the parent of them falls behind on being mostly a parent. So they learn different tactics. Now, there are some people who I know like grew up in the ghettos with the drug addict parents and they're like, I don't want to be that. So they work their ass off to get out of it. But, you know, it doesn't really necessarily mean that there's a lot of people that are going to do that. A lot of them are just going to fall into it and just be like, all right, well, my parents do it, I might as well try it.
Yeah, I don't know. That's not the norm.
You know, most of us, like, we have a healthy fear of consequences. If you don't have any consequences, it's like these kids that are at school, right? And I talk to the ladies I work with about this all the time. We are constantly putting on the same kids for the same behavior and getting nowhere. We get no change of behavior, no nothing. It doesn't matter. Like, I try and reason with these kids. I try to talk to them like they're human beings, like they understand. And they do. They just don't care. And the reason they don't care is because they may get in trouble at school, but they don't get in trouble at home.
Yeah.
Got a kid whose mom works with us, and she's just decided we're picking on her kid. It's like, no, your kid's a little bastard.
Yeah,
do something.
I know that
but
was.
They undermine it.
I know for me, excuse me, my longer impression. I know for me, I was scared the hell out of my dad. I make the joke all the time, much to his chagrin, but as a kid, I was never really afraid of being arrested because if I got arrested, my dad, you know, there's not much he could do, you know, because when you're home, nobody's going to narc on dad.
Yeah. Oh, no. My fear was not of the police. My fear was not of anything. My fear was what was going to happen when I got home.
Yeah. Well, apparently, after my car wreck, when my mom showed up at the hospital, my full-on question was, who called her? You know, I'm lying in the ICU waiting to be, you know, taken in. But yeah, I'm still like, she doesn't need to be here. Can you send her home? Like, don't let her know what happened. You know,
she could have hit me.
No, when I got suspended at school, I was like, I was freaking out. I think I called my mom because I knew my mom would not flip out on me. And then eventually I had to call my dad because that's who I lived with. And I wasn't so much concerned about my dad as my stepmom scared the shit out of me. She's crazy. But yeah, I had to work that day, so I didn't even see my parents until like 11 o'clock at night when my dad showed up to pick me up. And for like that last like 2 hours of work, I just thought I was going to puke. It just sucks so bad. But yeah, you have to have a healthy fear of consequences. I mean, some of our fears were a little more unhealthy than others because it wasn't so much, well, if I do this, I'm going to ruin my future. It wasn't fear.
Yeah.
Like long term, you know, like a lot of people go, you know, they have goals. And so their fear comes from, you know, what happens if I end up in jail, that's going to ruin my plan. I never had goals.
I never really had goals growing up, to be completely honest. I never thought I would get to the age I am now. And I'm, out of everybody I know, I'm consistently the most boring person out of anybody.
Well, yeah. I mean, I never expected to be above 30 years old. And
but you had a good reason.
Well.
You're insane, or at least you were.
Isn't everybody to some extent? I mean.
Not me.
No, I'm normal.
I'm literally, and I've actually told people I'm boring, like, oh, you're not a boring person. And I've always asked, okay, prove it. And usually it's a couple of minutes of awkward silence.
I'm totally boring.
What was that?
I'm totally boring. I enjoy being boring.
Yeah, me too. And you know, that's the thing. It's like being young and doing a bunch of stupid, idiotic shit. Once you get to the point where you can legally go out and buy all the things that motivated us to do stupid shit, there's no desire.
I think some of it, and I mean, some of it to some degree, I think is healthy. You know, you as a kid, you'll sneak out and I'm not saying you should do this or your kid should do it, but I'm saying some of the stuff we did and you guys did, I think is healthy because it helps you explore life to some degree. And especially when we were younger.
If you don't make mistakes, you don't learn anything.
No, totally. I think the problem with modern society is there's cameras everywhere. Everybody has a camera and you're not allowed to screw up, which I think nowadays, yeah. I think is hurting people anymore because you, as Bree said, you can't screw up. You can't make you can't make something, and some screw ups are bigger than others. You know, you get caught drinking when you're driving, et cetera, but sneaking out, doing something that's relatively safe, I think nowadays you can't do because kids are stupid and don't realize taking a picture of it and posting it on freaking social media.
Tagging you in it.
Yeah. Well, what I would say, you know, like, well, what I've told John this, but when my son screws up or does something stupid and I just look at him and I ask him, did you learn anything? And if the answer is no, I just tell him, okay, well, we're going to do this again eventually.
Yep.
Because, I mean, that's the way I look at it is that if you make a mistake, if you do something dumb and you get caught, let's just say that. And you don't learn anything from it, you're going to do it again eventually. It may not be right away, but 2-3 months down the road, you might do the same stupid shit again.
Yeah.
I have the same conversations with my daughter. I have the same conversations with the kids at school.
Yeah.
And you do. It's like, okay, here's the mistake. Here's the consequence. Here's your warning. You know, if you next time you do it, there's going to be a consequence. And then you do it again, and now there's a consequence. And then I will. I'll sit down and be like, you know, I don't like benching you. Do you like being benched or wouldn't you rather go to recess? Like, are you learning something? Did you learn from this consequence? Some of them do. Some of them don't.
Yeah. The fact that putting people on a bench in timeout works amazes me because I remember I was in third grade. And I remember that started becoming a thing. And one of my teachers, I did something and benched me for lunch. And I remember, I didn't say anything, but I remember thinking in my head, it's like, wait, so all I do is sit here and I miss the rest of lunch. I don't, nothing else.
But for most kids, that's really hard. That's the time that they get to socialize with their friends outside of class. They talk, they get to play. Like for me, getting benched sucked, but like I got benched plenty, you know, I didn't really learn anything from it. I just had to hold still for a little while. But, and for a lot of the kids, like, we come up with as many different consequences as we can. We have trash duty. We have some walk laps. If we know they're particularly squirrely, like they got in trouble in class, we'll have them walk laps. Like, okay, you've got extra energy, then you need to do some laps. try to come up with the consequences for different kids and see what works. I mean, I've got this one girl who her only consequence is she has to go sit in the office. Oof. Because benching her doesn't do anything. Making her walk laps, she does not give a rat's ass about anyone or anything. And she somehow still manages to chit chat with her friends no matter what she's doing. She's our little school wide gossip and she's always making other kids cry. It's super fun. So now, like, the only thing we can do is completely segregate her.
You can do the Yakuza.
So it's like, okay, well, you get in trouble, you get to sit in the office all recess all by yourself. And it sucks.
I totally dig the different punishments. I'm happy to hear that finally education is learning that a one size fits all does not work for everybody. Cause it never worked for me. Like I've always been somewhat relatively antisocial. Like, before senior year, I spent quite a number of lunches by myself walking around. So I like the fact that there's, you know, that they're actually using their brains and trying to punish people, kids, that'll actually benefit them.
Really limited to what we can do. You know, I can't go make a kid scrub a toilet. You know, I can't make them do anything gross or difficult.
But like walking laps, making them sit in the office. I mean, that's all stuff with kids that's stuff that's a punishment and they may not work with a high schooler, but that may be enough to correct a kid who needs a nudge, not a full on, you know, push.
Bree, did you ever do detention?
Fine. We have probably 5 or 6 kids that are regular. They're constant. So we try to change it up because you have to, because obviously they don't care about the consequences they were given.
Yeah. Bree, did you ever do detention in high school?
Yeah. The first time I got a detention was my freshman year for tardies, and my parents made me walk home.
Jeez.
You know where I live.
Yeah.
They made me walk home. Like 5 miles down that road with no shoulder, windy ass road, blind corners. I was scared shitless I was going to get kidnapped or run over.
Yeah, you probably had a higher chance of getting run over at that time.
I bet you didn't get detention at all that year again.
That live out that road. But that's funny because I was actually just thinking about this the other day. I got a detention my junior year, I think. And I realized after that freshman year one that they never called home. They never contacted my parents at all. The only reason my parents knew is because I told them. So after that, since I never drove in high school, I just didn't go to the detention. And if you 3 detentions, it turns into a Saturday school. And then I just went and spent the night at Jen's house and had her take me home afterwards.
Yeah, see, that's what I was going to say is, you know, for me, like, I never did a single detention. And I think I only did 2 Saturday schools. And yeah. The only reason why I did the Saturday schools is because they wouldn't give me my diploma.
Yeah.
But, you know, I never went to detention, but I always had McCormick would come up to me after, and Davies or Buddha used to come up to me afterwards and like, were you supposed to go into detention? I'm like, yeah. They're like, well, we were there. Why didn't you come? Like, I'm not going to waste my time, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, I never really, like, there was no point. Like, I'm going to go and sit here after school sit in a room and just chit chat. Cause that's basically what detention was back then. Even the Saturday school was basically hanging out.
Who was running it.
Yeah. Milholland, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. When he ran it, it was always easy from what I understood, but
see, I got held back. I only got a minor detention once. I don't remember what I did, but the guy said basically you got to wait 10 minutes after class, and it was one of those chances that if I had waited too long, I would have missed the bus.
Oh. Yeah.
And there's a good chance that I would have reamed him out. It's like, oh, great. Did you know how long I'm going to have to wait here and where I live? I can't walk home from here.
You could.
No. So, it would take a really long time.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it would take quite a while.
That's why you hitchhike, John.
It took me hours to walk home.
I believe it.
It was, 5 miles. of, you know, hills and corners and no safe place to walk up out French Creek. So like it just getting up that first hill was brutal. But yeah, I think I got home. Well, it was definitely after like five. I still managed to get home before my parents, and I was pissed because I would have found someone to give me a ride if I had known that.
Yeah, I don't think I could have hitchhiked, not with this face.
I mean, come on.
There's all types, John.
But I don't want to do that for a ride.
Just so close your eyes.
It only hurts once. or swallow. So do you guys analyze commercials at all?
No.
Like one of my favorite things to do, especially when I was younger, but I love it doing it now, is analyzing commercials, because these people spend way too much time trying to make the perfect ad that'll sell their product. Like cleaning products are my favorite, because usually the cleaning products, there are a couple things. One, it's either a married woman with kids, or a married woman, no kids, or a married woman who has a friend over, and the husband generally doesn't help. If there is a husband, he's usually using the wrong product, so she freaks out on him. Or the kids manage to make a massive mess, you know. So
the woman comes home and the dad is trying to help the kids make dinner, but instead he's just made a huge disaster in the kitchen.
Exactly.
It's that bumbling dad stereotype, which pisses off a lot of dads, and nobody else really cares.
I really don't care.
I've definitely seen a lot of what you're saying, but in like recent advertisements, there's a lot of it that's really going the other way and showing a lot more dads doing housework and things like that. You know, the whole like reversing gender roles and blah, blah, blah. Like, hey, dads actually do help. But overall, like, while a lot of people do have husbands that really do help, the majority still really don't. Like, the majority of housework still typically falls on the woman or the mother in the relationship, whether both people work or not. Because listening to other women talk, I'm like, I know I'm one of the lucky ones. That's helped me with everything. But I'm still the primary in the house. I don't work as much, so I do more of the housework. But yeah. I know plenty of women who work full-time and still completely manage their house, too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm guilty of not doing as much as I can. But I think that's everybody in some degree it can do better at things.
I 100% could do better.
What's that?
I said I 100% could do better.
But I love, excuse me, I've always loved analyzing commercials. Like I was thinking about trying to think up topics, and I'm trying to think of one like from my childhood, like the Zest soap commercials. And I always thought it was, besides the fact I always liked the jingle, it always was a weird commercial, like you're really going to get out of the shower backwards, and then at some point you're just going to rip your shower, you're going to grab both ends of your towel in a diagonal direction and just, you know, do that. It's like you're partying in the shower. It made me laugh every time.
Yeah, it's like so I love Muppets, by the way, like the old Muppets.
Yes.
And it's like the Muppets Take Manhattan when Kermit loses his memory and goes to work for an advertising company. They're trying to come up with a slogan for their soap. And he's just like, it gets you clean. And they're like, oh, that's genius. It's like you literally just say what the product does. It doesn't have to be a party. Just tell me what it does.
Trying to think. The one commercial that usually gets the same reaction out of everybody that I remember off the top of my head is commercials for women's products. Because there's always there's always some sort of commercial where they're pouring some liquid on something, and every male and female I've ever talked to always have the same reaction. What's the point of showing that?
Just trying to show the absorbency. They do it with diapers and toilet paper and paper towels. My thing is why are all the chicks in tampon commercials doing cartwheels? I don't know how to do a cartwheel. And a tampon is not going to help me learn how to do a cartwheel.
Yeah, actually, that's a good point.
Tampons don't help with cramps. If I have cramps, you bet your ass I'm not going to be out there trying to do damn cartwheels. I'm going to go sit and take my Midol and try not to kill anybody.
I never thought about that, but that's a good point. They're always overly excited and joyful.
Yeah.
That's funny. I never thought about that. Because you're right. They all have this very mischievous, kind of playful, yay, I'm going to... That's funny.
Yeah, that's the biggest women's complaint that I know of about those ads. It's not so much as showing, you know, yeah, show me how the product works. Don't show me how you think that I want to feel. Like, you know, trust me, when I shove a piece of cotton in my vagina, it does not make me happier. Sorry for the graphic detail, gentlemen, but that's life.
I was going to say, at this point, you can't really gross me out. You know, I've had people...
Born, you're kind of done.
Yeah, true. There was something else revolving about that. I always thought it was funny. I don't remember. By the way, people out there, if you're saying yes, we're really talking about analyzing commercials. This is how boring I am, but I love advertising in general because it's always... towards a certain market. One of my favorite ads is actually regarding, it's an old time radio commercial on Dragnet. It's like 1955-ish. It's a radio play. And at some point they're talking about Fatima cigarettes. And I said, we took it to a doctor. And after so many months, doctor has shown, evidence has proven it does no damage to lungs, something and other accessory organs. And I always wonder, what's an accessory organs? I was never born with options.
It's not really necessary. You just have one.
I mean, if I was born, if I could have some sort of accessory organs, I definitely would choose something that would get me maybe a free beer once in a while. And instead of... liver? What was that?
Like an extra liver?
Yeah, something.
I don't know. I just like how, you know, in advertising now, they're not allowed to like outright lie. But back then, that's what they did to sell their product, was outright lie. They knew it was a lie, but people were suckers and there wasn't as much research and they believed it. Like, oh, smoke our cigarettes. They're good for you. Like, they'll help you lose weight. My grandma told me with her first baby, the doctor actually told her to smoke in order to have a smaller baby.
My grandmother actually started smoking to lose weight, and she was a lifetime smoker from what I remember hearing. At some point during her life, she tried to stop smoking, and apparently she was so hard to deal with, everybody started buying her packs of cigarettes.
Jeez. All of my grandparents stopped smoking in like the 80s, which was great. But yeah, I remember like they used to actually tell pregnant women to smoke. If you want to have a small baby, smoke. Like, that used to be medical advice.
After some of the Facebook stories that have popped up on my Facebook feed about women having like 15-pound babies.
Yeah, no shit.
Like I read that article, and even as a guy, I'm like, oof, oof.
Yeah, I know a couple people who've had like 10-pound babies, and that's oof enough for me.
You're popping out a bowling ball.
20-pound baby, so that 10-pound baby probably would have killed me.
Yeah.
But, oof. I mean... It has so much to do with your diet, though. I mean, a lot of those are like gestational diabetes babies, which can cause rapid growth. And then I honestly like growth hormones in all of our food. There's growth hormones. And I'm, you know me, like I just ate Kentucky Fried Chicken. Like I'm not a health food person. I'm not that worried about it. But I do try to find meats that are, you know, not full of antibiotics and growth hormones because... Yeah, they pump them all full of this stuff to get more meat, but that growth hormone is still in food. It's still in the meat. You know, and that doesn't all completely clear out.
This
and
does.
So that's what we're eating. That's what we're feeding our kids. And like, I swear that has to do with like bigger babies and like earlier puberty and all that bullshit.
Excuse me. I do remember reading a couple of things regarding this years ago, and my memory is really weird. So I won't remember what I did yesterday, but I can remember an article I read 25 years ago. There was a couple of articles regarding modern day chemicals transitioning within the human body into estrogen. Mm-hmm. Part of this article was talking about by how, like in Australia, the average woman's bra size is between a C and a D. And it was mm-hmm. talking about how, plastics, for example, in the human body, the I forgot what you call it, but like in some of these water bottles, you put water into it, the plastic, the chemicals from the plastic leach into the water.
Yeah, okay.
So that turns into estrogen. Some common chemicals that are used in production in the human body will do that. See, nowadays we have more estrogen out because of chemicals that to do that.
Is women in general are larger and your boobs store fat. They are fat stores. So if women are larger, then their boobs are obviously also going to be larger.
Oh, so, no, totally.
So just eat a lot of food to get bigger breasts?
I mean, as long as you don't mind your ass, stomach, and everything else being bigger too, then sure.
Just bolt down your lamps. There's nothing worse. That's nothing worse than knocking down a lamp. But it was talking about that, and it mentioned how they think that was one of the reasons why worldwide male sperm levels are actually down. And it was also talking about the growth hormones in meat. And it was this huge article basically saying how the modern lifestyle is affecting it, especially guarding towards, they say, girls as young as 9 and 10 can hit puberty.
Yeah, but that's always been a fact. Like, girls have been starting puberty at 9 and 10. I knew kids when I was 9 and 10. I knew girls that had started puberty.
But that wasn't the average, though. I don't know if this is true or not. So,
yeah, like, I would say 11, 12 is probably still the average. For the most part, I mean, we still do the puberty and hygiene things in fifth grade. I think we should do it at the end of like fourth grade because damn, do those kids stink. And a lot of kids do start younger, but it's typically family history, you know, genetics. I come up from a family on my mom's side of late bloomers, and you know, Sienna's on track to be a late bloomer too, which is fine with her and fine with me. But yeah, I mean, genetically, it's usually linked for sure that if, you know, you'll probably start, well, obviously not you because you're a dude, but girls will typically start around the same ages that their mother or grandmother or whoever.
You mean John hasn't started menopause yet?
Hey, you never know. You never know. At some point in my life, I could have boobs. They actually say menopause. They actually say that men do get a form of it.
Yeah, I've heard that. We used to call her midlife crisis, but whatever.
No, they actually say...
They call that a secretary and a Miata, right?
No, I was reading an article a couple of years ago talking about it. There's a notice for men.
I remember that.
There's a hormonal drop. It's just not as noticeable for men as it is for women.
Right. It's usually a decreased sex drive and, you know, getting fat.
In all honesty, most of the guys I know at this age, if the drop in their sex drive would not be a problem.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't know.
I would be happy for a couple of my friends so they could stop posting shit on fucking Facebook. After a while, you get kind of irritated with seeing, you know, women in bikinis, John, and shit. Hmm?
Just unsubscribe to my brother's Facebook. It'll be fine.
That's a smart idea.
Fun.
Oh,
which one do you think?
Oh, the funniest thing.
I unfollowed Eric at some point.
That's who I'm talking about. See, you did that.
Him. Usually it's during football season.
There you go.
The funniest thing is one of the reasons.
I'll find him again. And then he'll start like blowing up my feed with stupid shit and I'll unfollow him again.
One of the ways I knew I've always gotten older, and this happened the other day, and this made me laugh, is there was this semi-attractive chick playing bass. And the actually reason I noticed it is because I love non-traditional basses. Traditional via Fender. Like, if you look at the headstock where all the head, I forgot what they're called, you know, where the tuners. Yeah, I love non-Fender tuners. And this chick had this really badass bass, and I was looking at it. And she was playing, and I noticed, okay, a lot of people find her attractive. And I was reading the comments. Like 95% of the comments were saying, oh, she's cute, she's hot. And you look at the bottom comments, like, this chick needs to learn how to play.
Yeah.
And I was like, find this. Because if you could actually hear, when she was plucking, you could actually hear the strings hit the frets.
Yeah.
And that totally made me laugh.
Yeah.
The fact that somebody actually had something else to say.
That are all popular because they're pretty and everybody thinks, oh, it's so cool that this girl can play this instrument. But it's like, yeah, but she's not playing it well. You're only watching it because she's hot. Like,
The way I've kind of looked at it at this point in my life, I'm happy women are trying anything. Actually, there's a couple of because in some things, like musically, there's not been a lot of female bands that have made it.
All
right. So I always kind of hope there'll be some really badass, women in bands. You know, there's this little girl on YouTube who is fucking amazing. Like on the guitar, she.
Yeah.
You know, shit like that. I want to see, because when you talk about female bands, especially in the 80s, people like, you know, the Go-Go's and all these, which. Most of these female bands. What was that?
I listen a lot. I hate the Go-Go's. I love Vixen though. Vixen is my 80s go-to chick music.
Oh yeah, I'll have to. I might have listened to them. I don't remember.
Well, I don't.
Went to metal. Like they're still out doing stuff, but.
Like even the Runaways. I watched one of their music videos.
Mm-hmm.
And the only thing that bugs me is this is something that's actually always bugged me. When you have attractive chicks in low cut clothing who can actually do something, that always pissed me off. Even when I was a kid, when that really was kind of everybody's thing.
Because nobody cares because they're girls. So you still have to, that's the society we live in though, is they can't get by. Women as a whole, and it's not as bad as it used to be, but they couldn't get by on just their talent alone. They also have to be pretty. That's unfortunately our society.
No, I agree. And that always kind of bugged me. Janis Joplin's the only person I can think of in relative history who was not that attractive, but was absolutely fucking amazing.
Yeah. And see, I always found her to be annoying.
I
know that's like blasphemy to most people, but like, I never liked Janis Joplin. I'm not
a fan either, really.
It's a lot. It's a lot of wailing and hollering, and it's not. And like, yeah, she could sing when she sang, but.
Well, she had talent. I mean,
a lot of people were singing.
I actually agree. I mean, I wasn't a giant fan of her, but I mean, she had recognizable talent that actually took her somewhere.
People like Stevie Nicks. Like, I love Fleetwood Mac. Stevie Nicks, her voice is not great. Okay, she does not have a great voice. Like, thankfully, she's got a great band and they make fantastic music. They have really good lyrics.
I know people who would fight you over that. Phenomenal
guitar player. I love Fleetwood Mac. They're one of my favorite bands.
Was it Lindsey Buckingham?
Yeah, his guitar playing, like. And it's not like this crazy electric guitar, like freaking, not that kind of guitar playing. It's just like a good, like classic folksy guitar playing. And I got to see them a couple years ago, and just watching him play, it's like, damn, all right. Like it's very interesting and it's very unique. And that's why I appreciate it, because they all write and they all sing. I mean, they've got, you know, three singers in the band.
I'm all about the gorilla playing the drums. Mick Fleetwood is amazing. And he's
hilarious to watch. And him and his eyes bugging out of his head. He makes the funniest faces. I watched him more than I watched anybody else when we went to that concert, and I was dying because it was so
He looks like Grape Ape playing the drums. He's a massive individual. I swear to God, it's like they must have found like a smaller drum set, because every time you see
child drum sets,
he's a massive. I love Fleetwood Mac. Individually, I'm not a fan of any of them. Together, I like them.
Mm-hmm. They're very talented, and they're talented in different ways. So it comes together really well.
Yeah, I'd love to see. I'm trying to get. excuse me. The older I get, I'm trying to be able to recognize talent, even if I don't particularly like whatever genre or even the music they're playing. You can tell, for me, I just have to get out of the fact that, okay, this isn't my particular genre of choice. Mm-hmm. Like the words, this is really crappy comparison. But the only thing I could think of is like, look at like Christina Aguilera. Most of her albums aren't even remotely something I want to listen to, but
damn, can that girl sing?
Exactly. Like if you listen to her, what is it? The Dirty album? One of her albums I actually bought.
I couldn't tell you the name of any of her albums.
I have one album of hers just because I was really impressed. And, you know, so I'll listen to her, some of her stuff like on Spotify. Usually it's mass produced, mass massaged pop crap.
Yep.
But once in a while you hear her actually sing and you're like, holy shit, why doesn't she do that more often? It's like listening to Miley Cyrus.
Yeah, who can actually? Well, I mean, that's, it's funny because like Britney Spears, she got totally twisted around into this little pop, blah, blah, you know, high pitch. And it's more for how she looks and her dancing than anything else. But like, have you ever seen the video of her on like, I want to say it was Star Search when she was like 9 or 10? That girl could sing.
I wonder like, what
she could actually sing.
I wonder if what happened to her, or if it's just because she never.
Her parents was crazy.
Because out of anybody in music, I always feel sorry for the people that seem to get abused. Like Britney Spears, yep. I always thought got screwed. I mean, she. Probably. I've heard she's bipolar.
Probably.
Now, if anybody out there doesn't know what bipolar is, it's a very fucked disease. I have personal experience with it. Don't wish it on anybody. I totally support Britney Spears because she has enough people around her and enough ability that she can actually live a life, even though if she's as heavy bipolar as she seems.
Yeah, and she's around and she's turned around and she's, you know, made her comeback and she's very successful. And she still has a solid fan base. She never lost that fan base that she had just had an episode. I mean, there are definitely some people out there that went completely off the rails and just sunk themselves. And she's managed to turn herself around and come back from it. And that's always impressive to me, even though I don't enjoy her music. And that's not, you know, something that I listen to, but I can still see like, and I obviously, I don't know her as a person and I don't know her struggles and I don't know what she's going through. But to have a public meltdown like that and just, you think most people's careers would just be gone. And she worked her ass off to get back out there and keep working. And I can appreciate that.
Yeah, no. And that's one of the reasons I'm trying to recognize the talent of somebody just because I love almost every genre of music, but I am very much a snob when it comes to some things on music and movie. Well, a lot of things. I was going to say an example of part of it's the time, I think, for Britney Spears and really anybody who has issues, there's more of a place, a way to help them. Have you ever heard of Leif Garrett?
Leif Garrett.
He was if nobody's not familiar with it, he was a 70s kind of teen pop icon. And his life turned to shit because there was really, from everything I've read and seen in interviews, there was really no system there to help him. The 70s were very screwed up for kids who were in any sort of public eye.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. Even the 90s, like if you look at like Macaulay Culkin or...
Olsen twins.
Yeah, but that's his parents' fault. His parents used and abused him so bad.
Or
they used all their kids as just money cow.
Or what was it? The Coreys. Those are the two people. I feel sorry for the Coreys because the one that's alive, he's permanently damaged, and you never know why. Was it the drugs? Was it the fact that he was molested?
Yeah. Well, I mean, the drugs generally come because of the molestation and trying to deal with having gone through trauma. And it's really sad that, you know, one of them didn't make it. And it's really positive to see, you know, Corey Feldman is out there. And a lot of these survivors, these child actors that are survivors, are really pushing the industry to change because they don't want to see other kids go through what they've gone through. And, you know, they want to break the cycle. They don't want to be part of it, which is good because some fall apart. And that's the thing with anybody with mental health issues. And I've got, you know, a lot of experience of different aspects of that. There's a lot of stigma still. There are people out there who think that it's made up, that buck up and deal. You know, I know people who have severe depression and I know people who are in denial and I know people who have anxiety much worse than me that are on medication. And the biggest problem that I have seen is these people on medication start to feel better and they go, well, I feel better. I don't need my medication anymore.
Yeah.
And stop taking their medication, not thinking, I feel better because I'm taking my medication. And then they have a breakdown. And it's the cycle that happens repeatedly. And I've seen so many people go through that cycle because they think, well, I'm doing so great, I don't need my medication. Yes, you do. Just take it. It's okay to take it. Don't be a hero.
I have pretty bad depression. I have my whole life, and I've always fought it. I mean, the blessing for me is I'm fucking stubborn. And yeah. I truly hate having any sort of, I don't like having addictions. I don't like having being caught up in anything. And there's stuff I fought my entire life just because the fact that I'm addicted to something really pisses me off. So it helps in depression to some degree. And I think one thing with depression is the fact that, because at one point, after a friend of mine killed himself, was probably the lowest part in my life. The year 2000 was probably the lowest point in my life I've ever gotten to. I lost two friends within the matter of 6 months. Incredibly tough. And I think for me, part of what helped me is, you know, and this is a very cliche, but it's true. You know, I found God.
You're breaking.
Hello? Bree?
Losing you.
Oh, there you are. One of the way, what I said is the cliche as it found is I found God. And it, the other thing, what helped me honestly is having friends like James and Bree. They may not know the struggles I go through, but having somebody who not only cares for me, but I care for them has been the biggest blessing in my life.
For sure.
Because if I'm feeling down, I'll shoot Bria text and or James or other people. And if you fight depression at all, because for me, I always have. It'll be a lifelong struggle. I have it less than others, worse than, you know, I have it better than others, worse than others. It really is just about the biggest tip I can give you, anybody out there, is find something you enjoy. As stupid as this sounds, this is the greatest thing I can give you. Find something small, no matter what it is, and live in that moment. Then the next moment, find something else. No retail therapy, nothing like that, because the only thing that's going to do is get your ass more depressed once you get the fucking bill.
Yeah.
If it's, you know, movies, video games, get lost in something. That'll help you, because that's always been my refuge to some degree, has been stories.
Yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're never going to know everybody's struggles, especially with, you know, celebrities. We just see them in the limelight of whatever they're going through, and we just judge them for that. That's just the way it's always been in Hollywood and any type of, celebrity ring. I mean, well, Shakespeare had to deal with the same stuff. There was a lot of rumors about that guy too.
I think, excuse me. I think one way we can fix that to some degree is meet in real life, actually talk. One of the issues I think, and this is something I've been noticing more often when stuff I've been listening to, is with social media, it brings you, it's kind of like a drug, because it brings you the fix of community without actually having it. I think if
it actually causes more depression, because people see all the highlights from other people's lives, the good moments. Everybody out there is having fun. Everybody out there is so happy. It makes people lonely.
I have to admit, my friends have gotten, because I think most of my friends are probably the most realest people on Facebook, because I have people I know who just says, fuck, my day sucks. It's like, you just made my day better. Say, I hope you have a better day. But being real on Facebook, I think.
Than you.
What's that? Bree?
Yeah, it comes and goes. I don't know what's going on.
I think part of it, at least for me, is getting together with friends. Which is not something I do enough. I get together with friends, have fun, do anything that doesn't involve Facebook. I mean, I love Facebook. I'm on it more than I probably should be.
So, you know, I had this article and it was interesting and I was going to do it last week, but we didn't get into there. Selena Gomez said earlier last week that, you know, for her, she's saying that it's has a terrible effect on our young people.
What, social media?
Yeah.
I believe it. And I'm kind of wondering if it has a worse effect. And this, I'm not sure if, I wonder if subjugate has a worse effect on little girls. Because the problem with social media is all the women in there are really airbrushed. I mean, with boys, I can definitely see issues. But when you have such a vain social media.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's, because I remember growing up and you hear the fashion magazines and you'd hear the issues with that and, you know, the newspaper articles and news going, make sure young girls don't read these. And now you have these Instagram chicks who are, you know, photoshopped to high heaven.
Yeah.
Parents need to stop letting their, you know, 10 and 11 year olds have Instagrams. Like, that shit makes me so mad.
Isn't it?
Especially working with kids and having a kid that age. And so I'll tell you a little story recently at my daughter's faculty. She didn't tell me anything. So can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, I know.
You're breaking in and out. I'll let you know when you break up. You're breaking up, Bree.
Yeah, I think it's our service. It's coming back and forth.
Have you moved at all?
No, I've been sitting in the same spot this whole time, and I have full service.
Darn.
So, okay, let's see if I go outside, if it makes a difference. The lightning went away, so.
That could have a part to do with it.
Yeah, nice out here.
Don't forget your iron bars.
All right, I'm sitting under the metal gazebo thing here.
Oh, perfect.
That's why she moved out of Rockland.
No, it's like blue skies now. I had the craziest lightning and thunderstorm earlier. Okay, can you hear me okay now?
Yeah, actually.
Okay. So there was this girl at my daughter's school. These are sixth graders, okay? 11, maybe 12 years old. This girl had already...
Wait, hold on, Bree. You broke up. You broke up a little
buying
bit.
Alcohol.
Buying alcohol?
Alcohol. Flipped it to another girl. Girl didn't even get expelled for this, right? Got suspended. She's bullying everybody and ended up beating somebody up and finally got expelled.
Whoa.
So after all of this has gone down, I get a message from one of my daughter's friends who's a sixth grader at another nearby school. She sends me a message through Instagram.
Hey, Bree? Hey, Bree, you broke up.
And I...
So we have a lot of large gaps in what you said.
Sorry, about the start over from getting the Instagram message.
Suffer from. I don't know why.
There you are.
Yep, there you are.
Or not.
Okay, hang on. Are you there?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to hang up and call you right back.
Okay.
Okay, hold on. I'll finish my story.
What time are we on?
We're over a little bit, but I want to hear the story.
Yeah, I would do too.
Okay, can you hear us? Hold on. I got to switch something on my phone to get this to work. Do you hear me?
There we go.
There we go.
All right, let's see if it stays this time. Okay, so anyways, this boy she beat up is like on the spectrum, awkward kid, goes to this new school. He's now at school with another girl who used to go to school with one of my daughter's best friends. This is this whole girl gossip thing, so just bear with me. So multiple people at this school now know about this girl who's a bully. And my daughter's friend calls her fishing for information about this girl, trying to find out what's her last name. Is she on Instagram? A bunch of people here want to beat her up. So here I am thinking, well, this girl probably deserves to be beat up, but at the same time, she's a kid. She's a sixth grader.
Yeah.
Like, nobody should be out in the world with people out to get them. So I called the principal of my daughter's school and was like, okay, I don't know what's going on with this girl, but here's the gossip, just so you're aware. You can let her mother know this other school over here is not a safe space for her. And I'm like thinking to myself, like, this is ridiculous. This is like, we're in a rural school. This is another rural school. I never knew what was going on at other schools when I was in middle school. Like, I was off in my own little middle school world. And now, just because of social media, a bunch of girls at a totally different middle school want to beat up some other girl.
Yeah.
For being a bully. And they're looking for online because it's all like online bullying. It's like, why? Why are these sixth grade kids on Instagram?
Yeah.
I actually think it violates their terms of service. Not that it actually matters to people.
It does, but their parents let them. And, you know, the principal tells the parents all the time too. He's like, I don't know why they let these kids on there. I'm like, shit, I don't know either. My kid isn't on there. She doesn't have a smartphone. Like, no, she doesn't even have a phone.
This is something, having a young son, that I've been debating mentally for actually since I found out my wife was pregnant is, for one, I'm a geek. I'll know more than he does for a considerable amount of time, but I don't know where the line is. Like, my son loves playing games, so we'll let him play on our cell phones and we have games for him. But where does that, I don't know where that line exists, because I don't want to limit my son on access to some things, but on the other hand, I don't want him to access some things. So
I think the biggest thing is having access to other people, the internet, like having kids playing online games with people who could beat literally anyone and can say anything they want with no consequences. And, you know, we've got these girls that are getting lured away by kids who are adults who say they're kids and will come up with these fake profiles, fake pictures, all this stuff. We've got kids that are staying up all night playing games because their computer is in their room or their TV and their Xbox is in their room. They have no supervision with it. They have no time limit on it. They're not getting any sleep. They're not able to function during the day. And I think that's the line. Like, you need to say, okay, it's 8 o'clock. Turn off the Xbox. Kids do not have TVs and computers in their bedrooms to be able to use unsupervised.
That is
trouble.
That is, excuse me. That is the one thing that I've always believed in, is my son, whether he wants to or not, doesn't particularly have a choice in this, is there's always going to be a family computer. I'm always going to see what he's going to do. I mean, so there are steps that I will do to limit his ability to have access to the internet, or he just won't have it at all.
Right.
I don't know. I'm so thankful in some ways that I didn't grow up in this time period, because one of the things that I'm going to struggle with until my son gets older is, I want my son to stay a kid and happy-go-lucky, because you only have that once.
Yeah.
And I have noticed my anger towards some things that I see parents doing with kids, from seeing little girls in low-cut tops to things that boys having access to some things. And it really pisses me off, because I don't want my son to be damaged in ways. It's hard for me to really vocalize what I mean, but I don't want to ruin the innocence of youth. And
yeah, I get that.
Some of it is the discovery of things, but I don't know. Like, I swear to God, if somebody I know does something to my son that ruins that, I'm going to beat the ever living tar out of them.
No, I agree. And you have to worry about that. And people, you know, they just think they have to worry about their daughters and not about their sons. But, you know, these girls think the only way that they can get positive attention is by sending topless pictures or something along those lines. But here's the thing. You send that to a boy, 9 times out of 10, if not more, that boy's going to show all his friends. And if he's stupid enough to text it to his friends, now he's just trafficked in child pornography.
Yep.
And that just happened at Ponderosa not that long ago.
Yeah, I remember.
And I don't
know
what the outcome was. I know he got arrested, but it's like, did the girl get charged with child pornography? Because she's the one that sent it first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He just passed it on. And now both of them are stupid. But here's the fact, they're both underage. They're stupid. They should not have their lives ruined because they're stupid. And they are. And it's just like, how easy access to porn is. Like, these young kids are getting hooked on porn, like hardcore porn.
Yeah.
Because it's so easy to get a hold of and they're curious. And, you know, who knows what that's going to lead to. And I'm not into porn. I think that, you know, a responsible adult can watch as much porn as they want. But children should not have access to that.
I'm kind of, and I don't think people over like 21 should be able to get porn. Period. Just because.
Yeah, but once it's online, there's no way to stop it.
Well, this is one of the reasons why being, you know, like for something like me, you know, like responsible is there's, if you get the correct software and the right router, blah, 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 there's stuff you can do. The hardest part is when your kid goes over to somebody's house. Like if my
That's
son.
What I'm saying there's really no way to stop it.
Well, like, exactly. It depends. I think you're going to have to choose. And I don't know how hard or easy this is going to be. Like, who your son goes over. Like if my son goes over to his cousin's house, I know he's fine because if something happens, I know my sister-in-law is going to nip that in the bud.
Mm-hmm.
But any.
No, and that's the thing is as a parent, you have to know your children's friends. You need to know their parents and you need to know what they have access to in their house. Like the big thing was always like, do you have guns in the house? Are they locked up if you do have guns in the house? But like, and that's something that obviously you still need to worry about. But now it's like, well, do your kids have unsupervised access to the internet in your house? Like, are we going to go around and start asking all of our kids' friends that now? Because like, I guess we should, because I don't want my daughter going over to her friend's house and her friend convincing her that they're going to sneak out and meet some boys. And then they get kidnapped by some, you know, 45-year-old.
Yeah. That's a good point. That's a good point.
It happens. It happens. There are instances of that happening.
I think the thing that bothers me, one of the things that bothers me the most, and I haven't really collected my thoughts since my son is still young enough that I don't have to particularly worry at the moment, but there's a lot of kids that have tablets.
Yep.
Y'all, that scares the hell out of me. Like, the only way I could describe it is if for some reason I'm stupid enough to buy my son a tablet at a certain age, I know how to actually turn off his access to the internet on my back end. Like I can literally say no, but I don't know. I just, this world is so different from what I grew up. And maybe it's because I think the 80s version of the family was, or the nuclear family was best. You know, you have the dinner table, you have watching TV at night, you know, you interact as a family and we're coming up. Actually, we're past our normal time. So I guess we're going to do one more round of comments and then we'll end it for the night. I'm not particularly, before when I was single, not married and didn't have kids, I was fine with the internet. I didn't particularly care because it wasn't in my universe. Being married and having a kid, the modern world scares me to some degree because the amount of control I have to enact in order to keep my children safe. Not only is it from the internet, but it's from friends. It's from everybody around. Like I have an amazing host of friends that I know I can trust, but it's because I've known most of the people I know for 20 plus years and they care me about the same level. So I do know my son has some protection there.
Right. And you know, if either of your kids were ever over here, I would treat them just like I treat my own kid, which they may or may not enjoy. But any of my daughter's friends that come over here, they're safe. They're supervised. I mean, they're going to be out in the treehouse or something by themselves, but they're not going to be taking their cell phone out there with them. You know, and but like my daughter's friends that do come over with their phones, I'm like, leave your phone on the table. Go play. Leave your phone in the house. Go play. You're not over here to text your other friends. You're over here to play together. And that's the end of it, you know? And that's why I am so big on having my daughter's friends come over here. I mean, yes, I would love for her to go other places sometimes. Like, trust me, I miss her this week, but oh my God, it's been quiet in my house with her gone all week. I haven't gotten yelled at once. Phenomenal. But I do, like, I want to make sure that my house is a fun and safe place. You know, they're supervised, they're cared for, they're fed. But they get to go out and jump on the trampoline. They can go run around with the dog. They can go hike around the property, go up in the treehouse. You know, there's stuff to do. or, you know, Sienna has a Chromebook that she has to use in the family area that if she wants to go, she watches, she looks up craft tutorials and things like
that. Wow.
Lockdown that I possibly can.
I don't know.
You just go on YouTube.
The other thing that I'm trying to do before I hand this over to James is I have something called a Plex server, and it's something I've talked to about on all every show I've done, is it allows me to curate my own style of Netflix. I've got stuff on there that he probably shouldn't like watch, but I do have ways to lock it down even further. YouTube, Netflix, Amazon Prime Video, all this stuff scares me. Mainly because I think at this point in my life, I'm getting a little bit more puritanical on some things. I don't know. So all I can say, ladies and gentlemen.
Well, the thing I like about Netflix.
What were you going to say?
Netflix. You make, like, Sienna has her own Netflix profile. She goes through the kids section because she knows how to do that. And I can see everything she watches.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I like that. I like that. I can monitor it without having to hover over her.
Yeah.
Because they need to have some freedom. They need to be able to make choices. They need to be able to, like we were talking about earlier, they need to be able to make mistakes and they need to be able to screw up. So we can't hover over them so much that they can't make mistakes. And that's what I see happening with parents these days, is they hover over their kids so much that their kids never learn how to deal with mistakes. They never learn how to deal with rejection. They never learn how to come back from something because they never got to make the mistake.
The greatest example I ever heard was, and I'm really paraphrasing, it was your job as a parent is to control your children's universe up until the point that you no longer have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's true. I can, as much of a little hellspawn as my child is to me, I know that I can send her to somebody else's house and they will always tell me how well behaved she is and how polite she is. But I don't get that at home. But when I send her to the home, I know she says please and thank you and she doesn't yell. And I have her friend that comes over here like every day. I take her to school. She comes over here all the time and I'm happy to have her because she's fairly quiet compared to my daughter and her other friends. She will clean up if I ask her to clean up. She always uses her manners with me. And then I hear stories about how she behaves at home. And it's like, oh, I'm dealing with the same thing. But we both love having each other's kids over because we know they'll behave themselves.
Yeah.
And that makes all the difference. If I can send my child out into the world and she can be a decent human being, then it really doesn't matter how she acts at home because this is a safe space. And that's why she's acting like such an asshole. No matter how big of an asshole she is, I still love her.
Any comment, James, at the end of this? Before
no,
I end it up?
Good.
So,
well, I'm curious. You need to bring your little demons over here sometime, too, anyways, and we need to get together again. Yeah. Same thing. Like, I have my daughter's friends over. I like having my friends over, too, even though I live far away.
Yeah. Most definitely got
to James
hang out
definitely
again.
Wants to come back over again.
So, yeah, anytime.
So, ladies and gentlemen, if there's anybody actually listening to this, the moral of the story is hang out in real life. Let everybody fuck up. You know, life is full of mistakes. Don't get down. And for crying out loud, stop hanging out in real life and thinking that, hey, this chick or this guy is better than me because, look, they're in Paris doing something. You really don't know how fucked up their life is.
True.
On keeping on.
Exactly. Keep on trucking. I think there was a song about that.
Yep.
Well, for the California Pry, for the fat man and everybody's favorite guest host, Brianne, last name is removed for privacy. As always, thank you for listening.
Goodbye.